Thought we'd start with a little bit of fun this morning for this Sunday sermon, beginning with a little bit of Jeopardy. Well, maybe just final Jeopardy. So the category being confirmation. Any wagers out there? Clue: this is the process or result of God's continuing work in Christian believers through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can sing that little song if you want to. The answer being sanctification. Sanctification, or in the Greek, hagemos. Or in other words, the process of being made hagios, being holy. The process of being made holy. The very thing that I said in last week's sermon, that the early Christians who John was writing to in his letters, who happened to be the second and third generation Christians, were struggling with. Being holy, set apart, different. I submit that their difficulties are our difficulties as well, which were also the difficulties with which the 12 original struggled. Struggle, Father Christian, struggle? It's so easy to say yes to Jesus. Well, sure, but it's after we say yes which these struggles occur. You know, it's always, it's interesting. People want to buy a new car, buy a new house. It's fun and exciting. But what happens after you have it? It takes some work to keep it going, to pay it off. Life is a little challenging sometimes, right? C.S. Lewis says, "We think becoming a disciple after baptism is like God coming into the house of our hearts and putting up some new drapes, slapping on some few new coats of paint on the same old walls. In reality," C.S. Lewis says, "God comes in, knocks down most of the walls, and starts to build something up brand new, which ensues a difficult life's calling. And yet the calling of every man, woman, and child who claims unity with Jesus Christ. For along with justification, that is, being made right with God through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, comes sanctification, the process of becoming something brand new, something that we already are. Becoming, by virtue of our belief and baptism, holy, set apart, different, which is a difficult process, which is for one, why in our corporate prayers, week after week, we actually pray that the Lord would sanctify us after we have prayed that God would make the offerings of bread and wine holy, becoming different, set apart, becoming the sacrament of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, we too would be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. But as I said, it wasn't just the second and third century Christians who struggled with this call to be holy, set apart, different, but also the 12 disciples, the disciples themselves. In our gospel lesson today, Luke gives his account of the days following Jesus' death and resurrection, noting that they were not out rejoicing from hearing a tale or two from trusted eyewitnesses of seeing the resurrected Jesus. No, sir. The disciples were afraid. They were huddled in the upper room in fear and shock, in the dark, uncertain of what was to come after the events of which they witnessed. And then when Jesus comes by, Luke says that they were terrified and they thought they were seeing a ghost. Now, in order to calm their fears, curb their doubts, as I said last week, Jesus comes and says, "Look at me, touch me. Come, listen to me as we come together and let's break bread as we've done before, that you really know that it's me. And as we do so, let me open your eyes. Let me open your ears. Let me give you a new heart." As their sanctification process begins, beginning a new life, being who they were as Christ's witnesses, and would become through the Holy Spirit. Although when Jesus comes to his disciples in the upper room, they seem less like let's go get people out there, and more like little caterpillars, curled up in their little cocoons, unsure if they really wanted to go out and do what Jesus was calling them to do. For it was a pretty nice, warm, dark place. They were unaware of their future, and they were really unaware of what they were being called and set apart to do. Now, we say this in Bible study all the time, that we know the outcome, right? We know what they do become and what they go out and do. We have their witness preserved for us over in that big book over there. And I'm sure that many of us have at least a couple in our homes. We know what they did and what they went out to do. And Easter is a time when we continue to celebrate and celebrate and celebrate that they would go out and do that, as Jesus comes to them and gives them exactly what they need. Himself, his peace, affirmation of what had happened, and hope of what was to come. Because he knows, even if they don't, he knows what they're going to become. He knows their potential. He knows the power of him who called them, who was faithful to complete what he would start. And he knew that they were indeed ready to be freed from the chrysalis of which they created around themselves. Freed and ready to be transformed into something new. Something beautiful. Something awe-inspiring. Filled with the Holy Spirit, which the Father had promised would come. Of which they would be clothed in power from on high very soon. Now, I don't know if you've ever wondered. It's kind of an interesting wondering. Writer Malcolm Muddridge says this in his essay, Impending Resurrection. He says, are caterpillars somehow told of their impending resurrection? How in dying, they will be transformed from poor earth crawlers into creatures of the air with exquisite painted wings. If told, do they believe it? Jesus had told his disciples what was to come, what they ought to expect, and now he was telling them who they really are and have become as his disciples, and to expect even more when the Holy Spirit comes. For being Easter Christians is to live in the light of the resurrection, says author Dietrich Bonhoeffer. But in order to really live, beloved, we must what? First, die. Dying to self. As a caterpillar dies to itself, building a cocoon around itself to its demise, that it would be transformed into something new. You see, beloved, following the resurrection of Jesus, for the disciples and for all of us, there is no question, says C.S. Lewis, there's no question of what we can make of him. There's no question. C.S. Lewis looked for it. He questioned a lot. And he comes to saying, there's no question of what we can make of Jesus. It is entirely a question of what he intends to make of us. And this is precisely why Jesus didn't ascend right to the Father upon his death and resurrection, and instead spends 40 days making these post-resurrection appearances. He needed to make crystal clear to his disciples and to all of us who now have their witness that new life is possible. And through his death and resurrection, what God the Father has really done, drawing himself us to himself, is to have lavished upon us an insurmountable amount of love. As John writes to his letter to the Christians in the church of Ephesus, so much love that we would be called children of God, which is what we are. Now John goes on to say, but what we will be has not yet been revealed. Yet what we know is this, when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Therefore, continues John, all who have this hope in him purify themselves as he is pure. Sanctification. the process of becoming holy. Now, maybe, similar to how a caterpillar somehow knows what they are to become when they see this lovely butterfly flapping its wings, they will say, that's what I want to be, and I'm going to be someday. Transform from a gray, frumpy, dull little caterpillar into this marvelous, colorful, exciting, exuberant butterfly which flies up and away, drawing in others by what lovely creatures they have become. We are a forgetful people, though. Just as the second and third generation Christians forgot, just as the children of Israel forgot, had to be constantly reminded of who they were, who we are, to whom we belong as his children, lights to the nation, a city on a hill, the light in the darkness, holy and pleasing in his sight. Now, what if that old caterpillar, seeing his butterfly friends, went away shaking its head and saying, no, 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 this is not the life for me. It cannot be. I'm this. How am I going to be this? It's self-deception. It's a fantasy. It cannot be. It's only a dream. And then walk away from its intended transformation. They would never be who they were called to be. And we'd be sad. But what if the disciples had done the same thing? Looking around and saying, nope, nope, it cannot be. Self-deception, it's a fantasy, it's only a dream. Then we wouldn't be here, would we? We wouldn't be here in this marvelous place praising and worshiping the God who created us, who would do anything for us, believing and sharing together the truths that have stood the test of time, which inspire every time we hear them, reminding us not only of who he is, but who we are, all the time making us holy as he is holy, sanctification, that we may show off our beautiful wings and fly. Today, this third Sunday in Easter, we celebrate that through the faithful witness of others to spread their beautiful wings, to come out of their shells, to fly, we do know the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. We do know him who is a true vine, and we the branches, in whom we abide, that we would bear much fruit. For their witness tells us, apart from him, we can do nothing. We know him who is the bread of life, who says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes me will never thirst. And glory to God, beloved, we know him who is the resurrection and the life. And if you don't know, come talk to someone who does. For we are called, even though we die, to live. And that's what we're called to do anyways, is to die to self. Each and every day, to come out of our little cocoons, knowing that God has made everything beautiful in this time, and that a person filled with God's love, with God's joy, with God's peace, is like a butterfly, one of those most beautiful things, that which catches our gaze when we see it. We cannot look away. That which inspires, that which comforts, and reminds us that there is a God out there who loves us to give us such beautiful things. And beloved, what we are is one of the most beautiful things as his children. And he has promised that what he has begun within us, he will carry out to the day of completion. What are we? We are his beloved children. That is what we are. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.